Thank you for being here, and welcome to our third term for our adult Bible class. If you have your Bibles, please go ahead and join me there, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. I've endeavoured to put as many of the verses as possible in your notes as well. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Notice what verse 11 says. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we are still looking at the subject of chastening here in Hebrews chapter 12. Now this year our theme is the just shall live by faith, Hebrews 10:38. And as we've been looking at on Sunday mornings, we have a whole group of people that God lifts up out of the pages of Scripture for us to look at, to see what pleased God in their lives, and God wants us to look at their example of faith and follow them. And then as we move into Hebrews chapter 12, after the examples of faith, God teaches us how we must live by faith. And one of the major emphases in Hebrews chapter 12 is this forgotten subject of chastening. Notice there in verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So the Lord has seen fit to remind us of something we often forget, that in the Christian life, once we are saved, God puts us into what we can call a brand new school. It is the higher school, amen. It's not high school, it is the higher school. It is the school of faith. As children of God, God has put us into a lifelong school of learning, of being taught by Him, of being changed by Him, of being grown by Him. And He is at work, as the Bible tells us in verse 5, dealing with us as His children in a way that a loving Father only can do. And in order for us to change, in order for us to grow, God must chasten us. The word chasten, yes, does mean disciplinary correction, but it also means to teach. It means to educate. You know, God's chastening is not only because you and I have sin in our lives. Now, we all have sin in our lives. God is dealing with us about that, but He's also dealing with us in other areas of our lives that must be strengthened. And so often, as we do as Christians, when God allows something to test us, to try us, so often we can be guilty of falling apart, falling into a pit of discouragement, wondering what's going on, even turning away from God. And God tells us this morning in verse number 5, don't forget, this is how I work. Don't forget, you can't blame everything on the devil, amen? There are some things that God allows for our good. I often use the illustration of a child crossing the road. As a child grows up, they need to understand the rules of the road. They need to understand the laws. If they do not understand how things work, then they're going to be in big trouble. And if you and I as parents don't correct our children, if we just let them do what they please and what they feel like, sooner or later, that child will feel like crossing the road at the wrong time and head into complete disaster. And God deals with us as His children. God disciplines us. God corrects us. Why? Because He loves us and He wants us to be protected from the dangers up ahead. And He deals with us in areas of our lives. Every single one of us, if we are born again by the Spirit of God, if we have been saved, God will chasten us, the Bible tells us. So this is an important subject. Last lesson, if you might recall, we looked at verse number 11 in Hebrews chapter 12. We looked at how we can have joy during chastening. At first, it doesn't seem to be joyous, but when we understand what verse 11 says, that there is something that happens afterward for our eternal benefit, we can rejoice. We can rejoice as He corrects us, as He deals with us. And thank God He does. Thank God he doesn't just leave us as we are. I hope you're thankful this morning that God dealeth with you as his children. And this morning we're going to look at a small phrase in verse 11 that makes all the difference. Notice there in verse number 11, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, afterward," God's chastening, "it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Now that is the reward of chastening. That is the blessing that comes from chastening. As we allow God to deal with us, as we endure, as we do not resist or reject or despise the chastening of the Lord, we allow him to deal with us, God says that we will be benefited eternally. We will be changed to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. God will give us greater peace as he makes us more righteousness. There'll be fruit. Now, we all want fruit in our Christian life. We all want to grow. And this is the way God has seen fit to grow us. But notice with me, every child of God is chastened, but not every child of God receives the benefit. Not every child of God receives the benefit. Verse 11 tells us very specifically that the only Christians that benefit from God's chastening are these, unto them which are exercised thereby. And there's that nasty word, exercise. Exercise. You know, when you and I think of the word exercise, we don't usually think of something good. We think of something difficult. We think of something strenuous, challenging, exhausting. And you know, life can be that way. But in the spiritual realm, God says that the only Christian that benefits and enjoys the fullest blessings of God in their life is one that allows God to exercise us, to train us in the school of faith. Now, the problem is many of us are not willing to put into practice the exercise to become perfect, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be perfected, that process that he desires to do in us. You know, in a short time, the Olympic Games will be on. Is that correct? And the world will marvel. I'm not saying we will, but the world will marvel at the great Olympic feats of these athletes. Those who win gold might break world records once again and go further and go higher and go faster. And the world will marvel, you know, and every athlete wants to win gold. And in fact, some of the couch potatoes watching the Olympics will want to win gold as well. But you see, not everyone, would you agree, not everyone is willing to put in the exercise to achieve the goal. Not everyone is willing to train 4 or 5 hours a day to swim or to run every single day to reach the goal. Likewise, it is in the Christian race, in the life of faith. Paul said, "Let us run the race with patience." He likened the Christian life to an Olympic race, a long-distance marathon. And you and I have to be willing to allow God to train us, to exercise us. So we're going to look at this subject of being exercised in the lesson titled Practice Makes Perfect. Practice makes perfect. We need to allow God to exercise our faith through chastening. Well, notice first of all in your notes, the first blank is the word custom. Custom designed exercises. Now, how does God deal with you and I? Well, the first blank is the word custom. He customizes exercises for you and I to be trained by. Now, the word exercise comes from the Greek word gymnazo. Now, what does that sound like? Gymnasium. That's right, gym. You know, there's a close reference there to the physical exercises of the day. Gymnazo, which we get the word gymnasium. It means vigorous exercise. The idea is to bring about a conditioning for future performance, for a future performance. So when an athlete was training for the Olympic Games in Greece, when they were training and they were putting in months and even years of preparation, all that exercise, all that training was for a future day, a future public performance. And God's chastening in our lives does not automatically bring forth fruit. It doesn't. Not straight away. The Bible tells us in verse 11, it doesn't seem to be joyous at the beginning but grievous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's the afterward that we need to keep our focus on. And we need to understand that if God is dealing with us, we need to let Him do that. We need to respond in faith. And the fruit of righteousness is only produced in our lives if we are motivated to exercise our faith in that training time, if you will, so that we can become better in that area that God is focused on. Each and every one of us, as a child of God, will be chastened in one area or more. Just like a trainer, for example, back to the Olympic Games, just like a trainer will pinpoint the weaknesses of an athlete in order to strengthen their performance, God does the same for us. He does. He steps into our lives. He pinpoints an area that you and I are weak in the faith, and God tests that area. He allows chastening to enter our lives. Not necessarily because of sin, just grievous sin or wicked sin that we've been committing and have not confessed. No, there's times where God just says, all right, now it's time to deal with the issue of our finances. Okay? If God wants us to become better with handling money, if God wants us to help us to become more faithful stewards of what He's given us to look after, then oftentimes God will send seasons and times of testing financially into our lives. Why? Why does He do that? Maybe you've been like me in the past and you've faced a financial difficulty, and what's our initial response? We throw our hands up in the air and we say, Lord, why have you done this? Your word says that you always provide. Now, He always does, and we're not out on the street, amen? But that's how we feel in our hearts. We say, Lord, you always provide. Why are you allowing this? And we don't remember the forgotten subject of His chastening. Why is He dealing with me in the area of finances? Now, we should respond sooner rather than later, that hang on a second, maybe God is dealing with me in this. Maybe He is allowing a time of less, a season of having less, in order to do what? To strengthen our faith. To strengthen our faith in God, to purge us from our self-dependence, to purge us from our self-wisdom, maybe to increase our prayer life, maybe to think back and say, man, I shouldn't have been so hasty with my spending. Maybe I shouldn't have bought this and not even prayed about it or thought about it. Maybe I should have asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me to buy this? Lord, do we really need this? Now, I'm not talking about anyone here this morning. I might be talking about myself. And you know, God deals with us in areas of our lives that need work. Custom design chastening. Now, if you have a problem with anger, and you oftentimes get angry very quickly, and you're not seeing that as God sees that as sin, that needs to be confessed, that needs to be dealt with, and you think it's okay, particularly us men, what does God allow? He allows people into our lives that will tick us off, that will make us angry. Why? Because He's drawing out, bringing out something in our lives that He wants us to see. There's a problem. You see, God exercises our faith and He chastens us. So what happens oftentimes? Well, if we are having a financial problem, we say, you know, if we're resisting and denying the chastening of the Lord and we're despising His chastening, what do? We just start complaining all the time about we don't have what we need and we don't have money and God's not providing for my needs and, you know, I have nothing. Well, maybe God wants us to respond in faith and take it to Him. You know, if we are upset with those people God has brought into our lives, you know, maybe we need to take it to Him. Maybe there's an area that He's working on. You see, every course of study in the School of Faith is individually custom designed. That's what makes the School of Faith different from our schooling in the world, high school, university, primary school. That's what makes it different. This is God's school of faith. And it's almost like personal tutoring rather than a group session like this morning. Custom designed training. That's what he's doing in your life and mine. And what's the lesson? Well, let him do his will in your life. Amen? Let him exercise you. How is God chastening you right now? How is he chastening you right now? Now, we cannot control his chastening. Amen? There is no way, whether you like it or not. We might as well say yes to God right now, because we cannot control his chastening. If we are his children, he will deal with us. He will deal with us. But what we can choose is what? How we respond. How we respond to God's chastening makes all the difference. Do we allow his chastening to discourage us? Or do we allow his chastening to motivate us to faith in those areas? Discouragement or motivation? What do we do? What do we do? Do we allow him to train us? Now, this is how God brings about spiritual maturity in our lives. If we miss it, we're in big trouble. This is how God has designed the life of faith. And that's why God says you've forgotten about it. That's why you're in trouble. That's why you are struggling as a Christian. And I want you to come back to the Word of God and let's see how God deals with us. And if we understand that, if we are submitted to it, then we can grow. We can receive the spiritual benefit. We can experience the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amazing. That sounds good. Amen. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Only though unto them that are exercised thereby. So the cliche really is true, isn't it? Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect in the life of faith. Those who practice faith receive the benefit of God's chastening. Custom designed exercises. Well, let's go on to Roman numeral number 2. We're going to look at a couple of places in the Bible where the word exercise appears and learn how you and I can work on areas as well of our lives. You know, God chastens us in areas that need work, but you and I can also work on areas too, amen? And oftentimes he deals with us because we're not paying attention, but we can pay attention. We can grow. We can. And then God doesn't need to step in to cause that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 there in your notes. I'll give you your blank in a moment. The next blank, Roman numeral number 2. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables." And notice, exercise. Remember, the word gymnasium comes from the word exercise. Train. Exercise thyself, rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life now is, and of that which is to come. So we are to exercise our minds. Exercise our minds. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 4 teaches us. These verses are talking about how we think. And God says, I want you to train your mind. How? How do we do that? How do we exercise our minds? Well, the Bible tells us we are to get rid of some things, some wrong thinking, and when we measure it with the Word of God, if God says one thing and we believe another, we're to get rid of that wrong thinking, those philosophies, those thoughts that the world gives us, and we are to put God's truth into our minds. We are to measure everything up by the Word of God. Paul calls wrong thinking profane. Profane thoughts. That word means heathenish. That word means wicked. It means unholy. Now, you and I as Christians don't naturally think spiritually. We've got a whole lifetime of our way of thinking, usually before we are saved, before we are born again. And once we are born again, God is transforming our minds, is he not? Be transformed, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Only through the Word of God can our minds be transformed. And God says we need to distinguish between what's the truth and what is a lie, because our mind directs our actions. So, we need to exercise our minds. And if you exercise your mind, you can become a godly Christian. Exercising our minds, filling our minds with the Word of God. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4 speaks a lot about false teaching. If you read through chapter 4, it speaks about false teachers and vain philosophies and man-made religion and error. And the reason why so many Christians are in trouble today is because they're listening to everything else but the Word of God. The Word of God. Many Christians are still immature and in kindergarten and struggling with their faith because they're listening to different voices, listening to different teaching outside of the Word of God. Verse 1 says, people, in fact, depart from the faith because they give heed, they pay attention to false teaching and doctrines of devils. Now that's harsh words, doctrines of devils. Now if a teaching is not from God and it is opposite to the Word of God, then who is it from? It's from the devil. Now we don't like to be black and white like that, and we perhaps hesitate to tell someone the truth if they're teaching that which is opposite to the Word of God, but if it's not from God, it's from the devil. It's from the devil. And the world is full of devilish teaching. You know, you can turn on Channel 10 one night and you can watch Joel Osteen and you can watch Joseph Prince if you like. You can read Rick Warren's 40 Days of Pointlessness. That's what it should say on the cover of the book. But friend, you won't be helped in your faith. You won't be helped. You'll be confused. You'll be confused because these are false teachers. They mix truth with error and they teach that which is in opposition to the Word of God. Many of these teachers will just say, well, you need to love yourself more. First of all, you need to see who you are in Jesus Christ, and you are covered in His righteousness, and everything you do is perfect. Everything you do is right in His eyes. You can do no wrong. Even the sin you do is God's will because Christ lives in you. Friends, that's a doctrine of the devil. That is a doctrine of the devil that opposes holy living, that opposes the Word of God. And if that's what a Christian believes, then what are they taught to? They're just taught to love themselves more. Friends, you and I don't need to love ourselves more. As Christians, we need to grow and hate sin more. That's what happens when you get saved. You learn to hate sin. We don't become sinless, but we learn to hate sin and ask God to give us victory and experience a life of sinning less. Amen? But you see, there's lots of doctrines of devils out there. And God will chasten us when it comes to our thinking. If we've been watching the wrong thing, if we've been listening to junk, if we've been reading books that are full of error, God will allow some chastening into the way we think, because that stuff's not going to help us. It's going to confuse us. It's going to lead us down the wrong track. And if that's what it's doing, God will allow false teaching to do that in our lives. He'll allow us to go our own way. And when we end up in a heap, God will say, well, what's wrong? Well, we're listening to the wrong thing. We're taking heed. We're exercising our minds and allowing false teaching to come in. And God will correct our way of thinking. And we need to get God's Word into our minds. That's how we exercise our minds. The Word of God. Amen? And what is the church described as in the book of Timothy? What does he say? The church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I know it's easier to switch on the telly, but don't be deceived, amen? Evil communication corrupts good manners. And on the TV, it's full of evil communication. Don't be naive to think that a Christian program that's broadcast to the entire nation and many cases to the world is something that holds to the truth. Friends, if the world loves it, if it's that popular, it should be ringing alarm bells that there's a problem. Because we don't live in a converted world. We live in a fallen world. So we need to stay away from error and exercise our mind. We have to refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise, train, put in the effort to allow God to change our thoughts. You know, many times we're confused in the Christian life. We hear one thing in church, then we hear nothing, something else on the radio, and we say, well, you know, maybe, well, who's wrong? Maybe Pastor James is wrong. Maybe we're too strict. Maybe this independent Baptist church thing is a little bit cultish. Uh-oh. You know, I've heard Christians say that. Absolutely. I said, hey, you know, we're not ashamed to be Baptist if you understand what that heritage means. But we are Bible-believing Christians. That's what we are. Bible-believing Christians. We're not a cult. If God says it, He means it, word for word. And where God is strict, we need to be strict. How can we be pleased with that? How can we be pleased in our life when God is strict with it in His word? Friends, that's just disobedience. So we need to exercise our minds unto godliness. We need to put His word, His philosophies, His truth into our hearts so that we may grow. If we don't, God will chasten us. He'll chasten us. He'll let us reap the reward of false teaching, which is vanity, emptiness, worldliness. And you know, when we sin in that so-called grace, false doctrine, we'll be confused and say, well, why am I feeling so guilty? When Joel Osteen and Joseph Prince says, I'm righteous in Christ. Why do I feel guilty about my sin? Am I just thinking badly about myself? Do I have a negativity issue? Or is it the Holy Spirit convicting me about sin that needs to be confessed? That's what the Word of God says. But Joseph Prince will say, well, no. You're just feeling guilty about yourself. You're listening to preachers that make you feel guilty. Yeah, that's what he says. All right, I've spent enough time there. Exercise our minds. Our minds need to be exercised. Notice, thirdly, we need to exercise our senses. Our senses. We need to exercise our senses. Your third blank is the word senses. Verse number 14. The Bible says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what are our senses? We have five senses: hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, and smelling. But when a person gets born again, we receive another sense, a spiritual sense, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And what is God saying here? We need to exercise our senses. Our natural senses need to be trained by the Spirit of God to respond differently now that we're saved. That's what God does in our lives. He comes to dwell within us as His children to help us to exercise our senses. And the more you say yes to the Holy Spirit of God, the more you'll hear His voice in those areas of your life. For example, the things we hear. Hearing is one of the senses. Is that right? Okay. Are you using it this morning? Amen. All right. Hearing's one of the senses. We need to be careful what we listen to, don't we? We've already talked a little bit about that this morning. What do you listen to? Is it the truth? Is it helpful? That's what we need to ask. Is it uplifting? The Bible gives us a whole list of things that God says, think on these things. Is it within the realm of those truths? Will it help me to grow as a Christian? You and I might think rock music, is not a big problem, and look, a little bit of it won't hurt. But friends, the world's music will change your thinking. The world's music will change your desires. The world's music will control your thoughts. And friends, if we are listening to worldly music, God will allow us to reap what we are sowing. He'll allow us to experience a season of worldliness and carnality. He will chasten us in that area because we're allowing things into our lives that aren't helping, that will lead us down the wrong track, that will lead us into worldly thoughts and desires and sinful passions. Why are the nightclubs full of rock music and techno music and pumped up music? Why? To create an environment for immorality. That's why the nightclubs are full of it. You know, imagine if they switched off the music. What do you think would happen? People would go home, friends. Music, the world's music is like a veil covering the awkwardness of people, and it pumps them up to do that which they normally would not. Combination with alcohol and darkness and music, all those things combined together lead people to do things that they normally wouldn't do during the day. Why do they have that courage to be so bold in their sin? Well, music has a lot to do with it. Absolutely. Music. What are we listening to? Are we listening to godly music? Friend, if you are listening to music that stirs up sinful thoughts and passions, you will know it. You will know it. I don't need to say a word about it. You will know it. You will know it. And God will deal with us in those areas of our lives. He will. Why? Because He loves us. He doesn't want to allow that sinful desire to become a sinful action. He doesn't want us to go down the wrong path. Friend, are you allowing the Spirit of God to change what you hear? What about what we see? What we see, the practice of observing godly things. If we do not discipline our eyes to look away from that which is evil, then we will become accustomed to it. And that's a scary thought. If you and I are not disciplined in turning away from that which is displeasing to God, then sooner or later you and I will think, hey, I don't think that's so bad. Look, I mean, nakedness doesn't affect me anymore. You know, I'm 40 years old. You know, I'm a grown man. I'm not a teenager anymore. Nakedness doesn't affect me. I'm married. So look, I can just go where I please, swim where I want. If the world is naked around me, they're walking around in their underwear, well, it doesn't bother me because look, I've grown out of that now. No, you haven't grown out of it. You still have a sinful flesh. You've become so used to it, you don't think it's sin anymore. That's the problem. And we haven't exercised our senses. We haven't exercised ourselves rather unto godliness. We haven't allowed God's truth to penetrate our hearts. We've become used to it. Well, what happened to Lot? What a devastating story of Lot. What happened to Lot? Lot pitched his tent towards where? Sodom. He wasn't in Sodom. He was facing Sodom. But over time, what happened? He got used to Sodom. Got used to the sounds. He got used to what he could see, what he could hear. And you and I today are absolutely disgusted by what Lot saw. But guess what? He got used to it. He did. He got so used to it, you know what he decided? I'm going to move my family into the city. And in fact, he became so well known in the city, they gave him a position of responsibility at the gate of the city. Wow. You see? If we get used to looking upon that which is ungodly, and we don't allow God to chasten us, correct us, and the Spirit of God to help us, then we will be led into disaster. And thank God He dealeth with us as sons. Amen? Thank God He chastens us. Friend, how is God chastening you right now? How is He doing that? How is He correcting you for your own good and His glory? The more we exercise our senses, the more sensitive we'll become to sin. The more sensitive we become to sin. You know, when I find a preacher who preaches hard, and Brother Cloud's not the only one, who preaches hard on sin and is much more stricter than I am, I need to be careful not to say, hey, this guy is too strict. Yeah. Friends, we are not strict enough. That's the problem. So often they have a much more sensitive approach to sin because they are further along in the Christian life. That's what we don't want to admit. We like to label preachers as strict or legalistic, you know, that's the word that's used, or just too harsh. But the reality is you and I are not dealing with sin in our life. That's the problem. And when the Spirit of God convicts us, let me encourage you, let Him do that. That's God dealing with us. That's God correcting us. That's God helping us to grow in the Christian life. It's not the preacher being strict. It's the Word of God chastening us. The more we listen to God, the more we'll hear His still small voice. So what have we learned? Well, we just don't wake up one day and decide to be godly. It doesn't happen. It's just like an athlete waking up one day and saying, I'm going to win gold today, and goes for a little jog. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It takes what? Training. Exercise. That's right. Exercise. Continuous training. And that's the school of faith God has put us into. Let me encourage you to at least be sensitive at first to this subject of chastening. Where is He dealing with you? Where is He dealing with me? Husbands, wives, where is He dealing with you in your family, with your children? To encourage us to draw closer to God, to strengthen our faith in those areas, to strengthen our prayer life, so that we may, in time, experience in that area of life the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what He desires. The rewards will be worth it. But we need to start building habits today, allowing Him to train us. Amen? Just like exercise, it's hard at first, isn't it? Yeah, the hardest thing is the start. The hardest thing is those first few weeks, perhaps. But as you train your mind by the Word of God and senses and respond to the Lord, respond to the Spirit of God, it will become more natural. Amen? You'll become more accustomed to looking away than you will to look. And God will train us. Let me encourage you to allow Him to do that. That's what it means to live by faith.